Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's conference call covering test flows from Fort Peck Dam. This call is open to the public to provide information on the status of test flows from Fort Peck Dam to ensure compliance with the 2018 biological opinion. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line to ask a question, press star 6. The forced mute function does not work on all phones, so if I ask, please use your phone's own mute function and do not place the call on hold. Our question and answer session will take place at the end of the call. Today's agenda is as follows. John Remus from the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division will provide details regarding test flows from Fort Peck. Joe Bonneau, manager of the Missouri River Recovery Program, will provide an update on monitoring. And Pat Broughton from the U.S. Geological Survey will provide an update on fish telemetry. With that, I will hand the call over to John Remus.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for dialing in this afternoon. Some of you may or may not know, we were supposed to begin the increases today for the second peak of the test, but we have delayed that to at least next Monday due to the high river stages in the Williston area. We have a stop protocol if the Williston gauge is forecasted to be at or above 22 feet. Right now, it's forecasted to be 22.6 feet. And it's forecasted to peak over the weekend here. We will, by we, I mean my team and the rest of the flow test team will reevaluate the situation Monday morning, at which time we'll make a decision on how to move forward. We may just delay the peak a week or so, or we may alter the peak a little bit to kind of fit it into the parameters that we see in the parameters, fit into the parameters of the original test flow, or we may not run this second peak. It kind of depends on how things look Monday through the end of next week. So with that, I will turn it over to Joe to talk about the monitoring, and then we'll take questions at the end, as Eileen said. Go ahead, Joe.
Thanks, John. So the monitor, the fish monitoring, Pat's going to talk about here in a minute with the latest, like he typically provides. So with all the other types of monitoring, it's ongoing as planned. Some of it may need some adjustment based on the decision on Monday on how to proceed. So a lot of the monitoring, including some of the fish monitoring, the timing of it depends on the timing of the test flow and whether the monitoring was going to happen at the peak or before the peak or after the peak or later. So that is one of the considerations for us is what it will take to adjust timing of different monitoring efforts. It's definitely possible. We knew this was a distinct possibility. For those of them been involved with these discussions for a long time now, you know that these different constraints come into play, were expected to come into play fairly often. That's why in the EIS, it explains, you know, in a given year, the odds of running a test flow beginning to end as planned are not 100% because the various constraints kick in and we need to adapt. And depending on which constraint it is and when it occurs and how long it occurs and all that, it's depending on all those facts that affects the decision on how to move forward. So that will affect monitoring, a few of the monitoring decisions as well, that we may need to adjust a few things next week. And we will explain that what we needed to do, how it was adjusted the next chance we get. But the fish are oblivious to these sorts of constraints, so you can at least get a new fish update today from Pat. And obviously we are anxious to just hear feedback from folks on the delay, input on what that thoughts you might have on that. So for that, that's all I have to add.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll hand it over to Pat.
All right, thank you. Okay, so some of you have been on the call since inception back in late April, early May. So now we are roughly 7 weeks into the whole flow test experiment. So those of you who have been on the call since the beginning are becoming very familiar with the form of these graphs. There may be some new people on today, so I will run through it, just explain what has happened through time. So flow test actually kicked in on April 26th with the higher releases out of Fort Peck Dam. Prior to that time frame, flows were about 6,000 CFS out of the dam, and that is shown with the black line. That is the discharge at Wolf Point, which is the target location for discharges. Discharge at Culbertson is shown in the gray line, and the discharges are presented numerically on the y-axis on the left of your screen. So that first increase in flow, those were the attraction flows, kicked in, peaking out at about 18,000 CFS at Wolf Point. And then the flows decreased. And for the last several weeks now, we've been in this period of retention flows, slightly trending down here. That is the period for the retention flows. In the pink line and on the right axis, on the right side of your screen, gives you the number of fish that are in the system. So when we first kicked off the season, about April 1st, in the middle of April, we did some baseline tracking runs to find out how many fish were pallid sturgeon were actually in the system. And during that time frame, there were 15 to 17 telemetered pallid sturgeon. Elevated flows kicked in for that first peak. And following that, there were 23 to 26 telemetered pallid sturgeon in the system. Some fish moving in, some fish moving out, the whole emigration going on. So now we're in that period of retention flows. There has been some emigration from the Missouri River response reaches. We know that two of our original five female pallid sturgeon that were in the system exited. These were the wild fish, female codes 262 and 272. However, there are still three reproductive females in the Missouri River response reaches. These are the hatchery codes 337, 342, and 422. And to this point, we are right about 20 telemetered pallid sturgeon still in the Missouri River response reach. Okay, next slide. So just to give you a graphic of where these fish are located, there's a cluster in upstream, the most upstream area of the river, where that code 422 is. And then that little cluster there, that is in the Fraser Oswego area, right around River Mile 1735.7. And the fish extend all the way down, and the response reaches down to one of the lower logging stations at Snowden, right around River Mile 1590.3. As I did mention earlier, there are three reproductive females that are still in the system. Code 337 is between Wolf Point, or just downstream from Wolf Point, just upstream from Poplar a little bit. And the other two females, code 342 and 422, remain upstream from Wolf Point. And also, as you can see from the blue dots, there are several males that are still in the system. These are hatchery males. Except for one, code 240, which is a wild male. And that does it for the fish update today.
All right, thank you, Pat. And we'll move to the question and answer session. As always, you'll either need to press star 6 on your phone or use the webinar app to unmute to ask your question. If you do have a question, feel free to use the application to raise your hand. I have 51 callers on the line today. We'll start with the state of Montana, then North Dakota, then go in alphabetical order by state. So looking at the app, I see Buzz, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Right, Buzz Matlin, farmer, Montana. Wondering how the delay in the peak flow is going to affect the drift study for the embryonic sturgeon. Over.
All right, this is Pat. Good question. At this point, not quite sure, you know, when the, you know, the peak flows, that's going to happen. We are still planning on the drift study. Drift release day will be right around June 24th, June 25th, somewhere in there, slightly varying depending on hatch schedules of the free embryos. So I don't know, maybe John or, you know, Joe can provide better information on potential discharges at that time.
I think that's what we'll talk about on Monday. The team is to, you know, what the stage at Williston is going to look like, what our options are, and what would be the best scenario going forward, whether and how that might affect the embryo study, how it might affect the spawning queue, so on and so forth. It's we'll have to take a look at what our options are and then pick the best option Monday. I can't really answer your question right now for sure, Buzz. Sorry about that.
John, this is Mike Ames. How will we know what you decide on Monday?
Well, we will put out a press release. We'll also, you know, contact some key stakeholders, and we will also a press release, and then some key stakeholders out there. We'll get it out that way. Ironically, when we were talking about this the other morning on our call, right about the time we decided to delay the peak, we started getting emails from people. So we'll get the word out.
Okay, thank you.
And for those of you on this call, if you're not receiving the updates that when I email the press release out, you can send an email to the address on your screen, the missouri.water.management, and request to have your name added to our distribution list, and we will get you on that list. Typically, we send one email a month. Right now, we're sending them once a week as reminders for this call. Otherwise, you're not going to get spammed, I promise. Next question comes from Dick Iverson.
Yeah, we got two quick questions. One is for Pat. Is the Yellowstone being used as much or more than last year? What's the stats there? Does it look like they're going up like they did last year? Second question is, I look back on the USGS, Yellowstone's flowing about, at Cartwright, about 40,000. Last year was 50,000. So what happened at Williston that it's so high? Is Sakakawea, was it higher than you thought about? Or, I mean, to me, this is a low snowpack year, and then yet to have Williston so high, it just seems like, what's the reason? I mean, the river has been higher than 40,000 many times.
Pat, why don't you take the first half of that question? I'll take the second.
Shall do. So, Dick, as we speak right now, the male pallid sturgeon are packed in the lower Yellowstone. And there are also a couple of wild female pallid sturgeon down there as well. Yeah, there's a lot of activity down there right now.
Is that normal, Pat, that then do they eventually go up, or is that packing down there at the Cartwright area, is that normal for this time, or is that more than normal?
No, it is pretty normal for this time. You know, after doing this now since, you know, 2011, 2012, that lower area near Fairview has been a very highly used spawning area. You can have aggregations of males, like up to 15, maybe in some cases even more telemetered males than that, at the spawning site. You sit there, you wait for the female to come into that aggregation. So it is very, very common. There's been a few other years, though, when spawning has happened in different places, you know, like last year up in the Tongue, the Powder River. And there weren't a whole lot of males in the lower portion of the Yellowstone River last year, but they are this year again.
Okay, Dick, the second half of your question is why is there so much water? I don't think that there's necessarily that much more water there. This is a low snowpack year, but if you look at the snowpack in the Yellowstone River Basin, we had lower than normal snowpack, but it kind of came and went after the peak. We would lose a little, then it would snow some more, lose a little, snow some more. We're actually melting about on the average curve right now. The snowpack kind of hung on for a little while. So the snowpack, while it's less than normal, the runoff is, the timing of that runoff is probably a little more normal than we would see, not necessarily the amount, but the timing of it. The river isn't necessarily that high in Williston. It's just during the EIS and the formulation of the test, we set what we call a stop protocol, or here we're using it as kind of a delay protocol of a stage of 22 feet. That is the base of the flood control stage, I believe, or maybe it's the action stage, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. We just set that stop protocol there. It's not that we're causing any flooding or that there's any particular flooding going on. It's just that we set a stop protocol there so that we would reduce the risk of flooding. So it's not that necessarily the water's running high. It's just that we hit our protocol at that particular location. I hope that answers your question.
Well, sort of. Do you think maybe another year you'd drain Sakakawea down a little more so that you have a little more cushion?
I don't think that the Lake Sakakawea Garrison Reservoir is playing a role in this. It's just that we're hitting a protocol that is probably a little more conservative.
So you're saying, okay, so the Sakakawea isn't backing up, causing a little bit.
I don't believe it's backing up, no.
Okay, thanks.
Let me say one thing there, Dick. You said, you know, in future years, will we drain Sakakawea to make more room? No, we won't do that. Just as we don't store water so we can run the test, we're not going to drain a reservoir to make the test more amenable either. So just to answer that question. Go ahead, Eileen.
Thanks for that clarification, though, John. That's good information to have. Next question comes from Dana Berwick.
Yeah, I guess my question would probably be for Pat. The graphic you had up there showed at least one unknown pallid. I can't remember where it was, somewhere around Culbertson, Bainville area, I think. But I'm just curious, it's unknown the sex of that fish or what's the, I've probably been explained, but forgot what the unknown is there. Thank you.
Yeah, that is actually one fish that has eluded nets. So we are trying to target all of them, so we know what the, you know, their sex, not only the sex, but their reproductive status as well. That is one that's on the radar for catch. Crews have done a heck of a job catching these other fish and assessing. So, yep, there might be one or two left in the system, but we'll try to get them.
So would that fish have telemetry, but just not known, or you know it's there without telemetry somehow?
No, so it does have a transmitter in it. And, you know, I suspect when it was initially implanted with a transmitter, it wasn't known, you know, what the sex was. So the transmitter helps us, you know, leads us to that fish, and we should be able to capture it and then, you know, perform ultrasound on it. We'll take some blood for steroid analysis as well. But yeah, that's a tricky one.
So that would be a wild fish, I assume, then.
No, it's a hatchery fish.
Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you.
I can't remember right offhand which year class that one is, but I'll let you know if we can catch him or her.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next is Doug Hardy. Doug, might want to get a little closer to the mic. I'm not hearing you.
Is that better?
Yes.
Is that better? Apparently not.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, so the question is, are the fish that are up where we like them way up the river, I don't know if they hang around that long or what their behavior is. The question is, if they go downstream before you get the test, I understand you still have to do the test for the drift study, but it might be modified. So how does that affect your decision?
So yeah, at this point, we don't know what the fish are gonna do. They may stay, you know, sitting there until the, you know, the flows are elevated, second peak comes up, they may run upstream, they may spawn, they may go downstream. We don't know exactly what's gonna happen with those fish. Regardless of that, the drift study will still go on. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I was just curious as far as I understood that on the drift study. I didn't know if the magnitude of volume may change if the fish have gone downstream before you get to the test.
This is John Remus. Those are some of the things that we'll factor into our decision on Monday. But I can't really tell you how this going to factor.
Okay, so that clears the hands that are up on the board. If you are in the state of Montana and have a question, feel free to come off mute to ask your question. Please state your name and your role. Okay, next is North Dakota and Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, got a hot mic out there somewhere just in case somebody has a question, go ahead. Okay, Nebraska, I think I just called it already. South Dakota. Hey, Paula Stowe, you have your hand up?
Yeah, thanks, Eileen. Question for John. On the levels of Fort Peck Reservoir, are you at all concerned on, especially on the recreational access facilities on the upper end? Are you getting close to where some of those will be out of service because of these releases, or where are you at on that?
I'm not aware that this would be an issue. The Fort Peck Reservoir is higher than it's been in the last few years. So we're not expecting to draw down past where we were during the low years a few years ago. So I don't think that should be an issue.
Okay. Next is Wyoming. Okay. Any other questions that we may have missed, or if you were inspired to ask another question, feel free to come off mute or raise your hand. Dick Iverson.
This is kind of a sideline, but I was asked recently by a neighbor that has spent 20, 30 years guiding fishing at Fort Peck. And he asked me how this was going to affect the nesting or the spawning of the walleye on Fort Peck. Because in the old days when they originally changed, they had the water coming up during spawning. And it's a little earlier than June. So, Pat, have you had any other questions about that, or is this late enough it's not going to affect the walleye spawning?
Yeah, I don't really do anything up on the reservoir except fish it, of course. So that'd be one for the state reservoir biologist. But, you know, with the flow test being later like this, I think it's well beyond the walleye spawning time.
Okay, thanks.
Dick, the Fort Peck Reservoir has been steadily rising here in the last month or so. So I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Okay.
Thank you, Dick. Anyone else? I don't see any additional hands up or people coming off mute, so I will hand it back to you for closing comments, Mr. Remus.
Yes, again, thanks everybody for dialing in this afternoon. We, like I said, we will be making a decision on what to do next on Monday morning. We'll get that out via press release, and we may email some of the key stakeholders to get that disseminated out there as well. And as Eileen said, if you want to be put on the distribution email and you're not getting these for the call, just send an email to our Missouri River Water Management email address there. We'll see that you get notified of that. Next Wednesday is a federal holiday, but we will still hold this call Wednesday afternoon, same time, same call-in number. We're planning to do that. We think that because we have kind of a hiccup in the process here, it's important to keep the information flowing. So we're going to be doing that call even though it's a federal holiday. With that, I'll offer one more chance for questions before we close the call. Hearing nothing, I thank you all for dialing in, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes today's call.